it's so good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to be here this morning and just to share what
God placed on my heart. And, you know, I was realizing that we're all wired in so many different ways, and our emotions and our personalities. And one of the things that I'm really grateful for is when I look on how I am made, how God has created me, and this has been a process of actually appreciating that. Some of you may know what I mean by that, but I realize that I am generally wired in a very positive way. I mean, I am one that my nature sort of is to look at the glass as half full and not half empty, and I'm grateful for that. However, even with me and my personality, there's times when I can get down, and there's times when I lose hope and I lose faith, and I just, you know, like, oh, things aren't so good, and things that I hope for and things that I expect and things that I don't see happening, and it can get very discouraging and very frustrating. And I've gone through a season of that in my life, and in the middle of this season, there was a testimony that came to me. In fact, it was the catalyst for my sermon this morning. And I'm going to share the testimony. We're going to listen to the testimony toward the end of my sermon here in just a few minutes. But I began to look at hope. And I'm realizing that in all of our lives, we face hope. We go face to face with hope. And we look at it, really, when we look at the face of hope, it can be three different faces. And that first face of hope, or for those of you who are 30 and under, maybe an emoji of hope, is hope fulfilled. Hope fulfilled is that time when everything that I thought would take place, everything I wanted to happen, everything that, you know, maybe a certain issue that I've seen, wow, I've been longing for this, and boom, it happens, it's fulfilled. It's a great place. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling when our dreams and come true, the things that we believed God for actually happen, that moment of hope fulfilled. It's a wonderful, that's a great place of looking at hope, is in that hope fulfilled. But the opposite of hope fulfilled, the opposite emoji, is hopeless. This is where all hope is gone. Nothing has happened. This is the place of despair sometimes, or minimally discouragement. And then there's a face in the middle. This face is hope deferred. You still sort of have hope, but you don't see anything happening, but you have hope that it can change. But sometimes waiting in this place, this middle face of hope deferred, can sometimes lead us over to the hopeless face at times. And sometimes we go back and forth in moments when we don't see our hopes fulfilled. In thinking about hope, I realized that I had to really differentiate between hope and faith, because faith on one hand is different than hope, but they're really related. In fact, there's great affinity and connection between faith and hope. And you really cannot separate one from another. If you look at faith, faith often rests on our understanding, upon what we know to be true out of God's word. It is an understanding. Hope, on the other hand, sort of meddles in all the emotions and our will and our desires. Faith tells us what can be done, and it's based on truth of what we believe, and what we believe what God says and what the word says. In fact, we are, Romans 5:1 says, we are justified by faith. We're not justified by hope. We're justified by faith. Amen. And the spirit man finds its rest in that faith. Hope, on the other hand, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It stirs up our emotions. It causes us to think in good ways. It creates within us a momentum to be courageous, to act boldly, to do things that we normally wouldn't do because of hope that rises up within us. It looks to better things, better situations, better circumstances. All of that is a positive thing about hope. And our soul, our emotions and our mind and all that are comforted in this place of positive hope. Now, I want to use, just to kind of simplify this, I want to use an example, an illustration. And I don't want you to judge me on this because it's not a perfect example and a perfect illustration. But it's an example of a box and a chair. And it's going to help me explain the difference between hope and faith. So many of you who are sort of old timers here at Harvest, remember when we had our 45-minute chairs, you know, the smaller ones with brown vinyl that sweated, you know, when you sat in it more than 30 minutes and was very uncomfortable? Well, many years ago, well, I guess probably 15 years ago or more, I had the great opportunity to change out our chairs. And so, yes, you can thank me. Okay, so in that process, I began to search out chairs. I began to go online and I began to look and seek out chairs and try to help me make a decision on which ones that we would purchase as a church. And I found this chair. And when I looked at the specs on this chair, I took it, I looked online, I got a sample in, and I looked at the welds and I looked at how the feet were put on this. I felt how sturdy it was. I looked at the weight limit on the chair because that's important. And I looked at the fabric to see how the fabric would wear over time. And this sort of became an example of faith. I knew the truth of what this chair was like. I looked at all the specs and I believed that this chair would work. So we got in the chairs. Now, my hope, this is the difference. My hope was when I purchased these chairs for the church and we literally sat down in them and used them, they would work. They would act according to what I believed them to be. So my faith said this chair would work. My hope actually began to put them out here and let everybody sit down on them. And you see, this is, the Bible talks about faith, and it says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's different. Now, let's look at this box. I could have just said, you know what, we need new chairs. I want 350 boxes. I don't care about what they're made out of. I don't care how they're constructed. They're a good price. I'm going to get 350 boxes to fill in the sanctuary. And I have such hope that these chairs, these box chairs, are going to work for us. I hope that they're going to work. I have great hope. And so we get the chairs and we begin, of the boxes, we begin to sit down. I'm not going to do that. See, here's the difference. My faith becomes a substance of things hoped for. Without the truth, without faith, my hope rests on something that's very unsure. And that's the difference. You see, our greatest hope, things that we have yet to see happen, must rest on the foundation of faith, not our emotions. Because you see, I can get all emotionally worked up. That's a great box. Wow. I love the size. I don't have to bend down too much. It's a great price. I can get all emotional about this box, but there's no substance in it, and it doesn't do what I hoped for. My faith has to rest, be the foundation of my hope. Because you see, here's what happens is my hope, being human and in this world, my hope can come and go. Sometimes with my emotions, it can be up, it can be down. I can have great hope and then no hope. And you know what? It's just part of who we are, but I must put my hope in the Lord. I must put it in the faith. There's three faces of hope, I said. Let's look at that first face. Hope fulfilled. These are the things that we believe for, that we believe God showed us, and boom, they happen. This is a great place. Oh, happy day. You want to have a happy dance? You want to do everything just to stay in that place where everything you hope for comes true. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. And boy, I would love to just, let's pray. We'll stop my sermon right here and let's all go home and be happy. You know, because that's what God does. He fulfills all of our hopes, every single one of them right now, amazingly, whenever we think about it, they happen. How many of you know that to be true? Yeah. You see, and here's something that God revealed to me. He says, you know, having my hopes fulfilled is not a measure of the strength of my faith. You see, it's not. In fact, I wished I could say to you, just have more faith, and then you'll see more of the things you hope for come true. Well, that may happen, but that's not necessarily true. And we have to be real with that as followers of Jesus Christ. You see, there's times when I can have the greatest faith, and the most ardent hope, and nothing changes. In fact, sometimes things get worse and get more discouraging. And that's when I can stare into the face, to the emoji of hopeless. It's a tough place to be. And we've all faced those times when we have felt hopeless. And we're not alone. When you read in the Word and when you study the Word of God, you find great, great men like Moses and Jonah and Jeremiah and prophets. All of them had their moments of feeling hopeless. And you know what? So has Harold and Joy and David and Sarah and Matt. We've all been there. We've all faced that face of hopeless. We hope that things will change. We hope that circumstances will turn around. We hope the relationships will be restored. We are tied up in all sorts of emotions. We want this person to be healed. We want to have the money that we need in order to accomplish what we think God wants us to do. And our hopes can be tied up in our emotions, whether things are happening or not. And when they don't happen, we find that pain that can lead us into hopelessness. And yet, God calls us to be a people of hope. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be people who are filled with hope. And it's amazing throughout Scripture, when you read Scripture concerning hope, hope is never focused on an outcome. Hope is focused on the Lord. The substance of things hoped for. In fact, you can read Psalms 31:24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 38:15. For in you, O Lord, in you I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, not in the pay raise, not in their boss, not in the situation to change. The hope is in the Lord. You see, and there's a question that comes up in our minds, if we're all honest with each other. And here's the question that we all need to answer. Where is the focus of my hope? Is the focus on things changing, or is it in the Lord? And when things don't change the way we think they should in the time that we think they should change, or in the way we think they should change, or the hope is not revealed or lived out like we think it should be, we can get very discouraged. And our emotions are very, very strong. Even to the point where, here's another question, is where is the focus of my disappointment? And I want to be really honest with you. This is what happens to me, and I think that it happens to us in general at times. And this is the part of the sermon I don't want to preach. But I have to, because it's real. The question is, where's the hope, or where's the intense disappointment, or the even anger coming from? Sometimes it comes from the fact that we look at God and say, God, you didn't come through. I believed, and it didn't happen. I did this, what I thought you told me to do, and it didn't happen. I waited patiently, and you never showed up. I had faith. I had strong faith. But things didn't get better. In fact, they got worse. You see, this is real, folks. This is what we've all lived. And I wish that the gospel would say that when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you'll never go through those times. But I would be preaching a false gospel. Because we do walk through those times of disappointment, those extremely, extremely real and intense thoughts. And, you know, the Old Testament describes a man, Job, who was in utter, utter disappointment and frustration and points of hopelessness in his life. Just read it. Just read about Job. And I wished in the case of Job, in his great hopelessness, or even in my hopeless times, I wish God would come and show up and say, this is why all of this is happening. Just hold on. But sometimes, just in the case of Job, God's answer to Job was very simple. All he said was, I am here, I am God, and you are not. And that's all he got. There are times when we lose hope because we see no change of circumstances or situations that we've hoped for, or we don't see them change, and in the natural, we don't even see God working on our behalf. It's almost like he's abandoned us. See, those are the time when faith becomes the foundation of who we are, not our emotions. See, there's times in the hopeless situations where I can do nothing but stand on him. Amen. I have no hope, but my hope is not in my emotions. It's in the foundation of my faith in who God is. And in a moment of really hopelessness in my own life, and just crying out to God, I asked him, I said, God, I know scripture verses, and I know, you know, but I don't feel anything. What is it that I hold on to in a time of hopeless situation? And I think God gave me five things, and I want to share these this morning, and there may be five things that help you in times of disappointment, times of waiting for the promises to come true, or times of feeling hopeless. I don't know. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to maybe take this and be a catalyst for other revelation that God gives you. But here's the five things. Number one, I had to remember that God's love for me is settled regardless. that my foundation is the fact that he loves me, he has saved me, I am his son. It doesn't matter the circumstances around me. It doesn't matter whether I feel good or not. It doesn't matter what my emotions are. He still loves me. That is sure. That is a foundation, regardless of what's going on around me. The second thing I had to remember is this is not my home. Now, this is very important because the evil one is at work throughout the world. This is not our final place. The evil one is active inside this world, and he's active in people around me, unbelievers around me, and even believers around me. The evil one can be active. And I was reading in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, and I do want to read this. Here it is. It says, for all that is in the world, and then it lists out, these things are in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things. And these things are not from the Father, but is from the world. And I realize these three areas the enemy uses to get control over others and their behaviors, and it affects me. For instance, their pleasure comes at the expense of my pain. Their profit can come at the expense of my poverty, and their pride can come at the expense of my own humiliation. See, at times I do bear the pain of evil in this world. But I have to remember that it's not a consequence of God's plan, but it's because of the wrong and sinful choices other people make. And I can reap those consequences. But I have to remember, his love for me is sure, and this is not my home. Number three ties in with number two. The end of the story has not been told. This is not the end of the story. God has a plan to prosper me, to give me hope, and to give me a future. That's his word. I believe in faith. That's his word. That's his promise to me. And it may be realized in this world, 100%. It may be realized partially, but in the life to come with him, it will be totally, totally coming to pass. And you see, the story has not been told. You read in Hebrews, the stalwarts of faith, the people who had great faith, Hebrews 11:12 said, now get this, says these, and talking about these people that were listed in Hebrews 11, said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, but confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims here on earth. See, the end of the story has not been told. My greater hope is not in this world and what happens in this world. My greater hope is in eternity. That's where my greater hope is, in the Lord and in eternity. Number four, I have to remember this in the times of waiting and also in the times of hopelessness. He is always with me, and he is always at work for my good. Even when I don't feel it, and even when I don't see it, it's his word. He's always at work. And whether he brings relief and comfort or change in the midst of something I'm hoping for, and I see it happening, or if he is walking with me through the unanswered questions and the discouragement and the hopeless times, I have to realize, my faith reminds me, he's always with me. He hasn't left me. He hasn't abandoned me. And then the final one, number five, is one that's something very difficult at times for us to do, but or to consider. But number five, he always gives me a choice. Do I trust him? Or would I rather trust myself? Do I run toward him in the times of hopelessness? Or do I run away from him and try to fix things on my own? The end of the story is the result doesn't look good. You see, that's the choice he gives all of us. And sometimes, even in the midst of hopelessness, we want to run to Jesus. We want to run toward him, but we have a hard time even believing that he's going to do anything. And I read in Mark, it's a story in chapter 9 about a young boy who was demon-possessed, and nobody knew what to do with him. From birth, he was like that, and Jesus was in the area, and they had heard Jesus could heal, and so the father brought the boy to Jesus, and he asked Jesus, he says, if you can, this is his words, if you can do anything with him, have pity and mercy upon us. And Jesus, I could just see him kind of step back, if I can? Well, maybe he wouldn't be as smug as I, but if I can. And he says to the Father, he says, all things are possible to him who believes. And the Father quickly cries out, Lord, I believe. And then quickly he says, help me believe. Help me in my unbelief. And you see, there's times in the choices we have to make where we need to run toward Jesus, run to our faith. And we may not feel like it. We may not, and we have to be honest with God and say, God, I believe you, but help me because I don't believe you. But that's where we have to go. Help us in our unbelief. Because you see, ultimately, if nothing ever changes and the circumstances don't change, my hope is not in my satisfaction with life or the circumstances around me, because my hope is in the Lord. But the reality is that it's never over until it's over. It's never over till it's over. And that leads me to our final emoji of faith, and that or hope, and that is hope deferred. Waiting. How many of you love to wait? I'm glad you're honest. If I hand, you love to wait. Good for you. Good for you, Kim. I'm glad. You maybe need to preach a sermon on that someday. But I hate to wait. Our culture hates to wait. If it doesn't happen right now, we go somewhere else. We were at a fast food restaurant just yesterday, and we walked in there. All the tables were filled. They had one waiter that was taking care of everybody. We realized we would have to wait. We were out of there because we didn't want to wait. I encourage you sometime this week to read the story of Abraham that's found in the Bible. Abraham was someone who God literally gave him a tremendous promise. In fact, it was more than a promise. It was a covenant oath between God and this man, Abraham, that he would be the father of many nations. But it didn't happen for a long, long, long time. And Abraham waited and waited and waited, and things didn't look good. And there must have been times when he lost hope. Paul talks about in Romans about Abraham. He says, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. And this is what struck me as Paul was referring to Moses. He says, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. See this struggle that everything around Abraham looked hopeless. And yet, in hope, he believed. And that's so much our lives at times. The stuff around us doesn't look good, and we've waited, and we've waited. And I'm so glad that Scripture records the life of Abraham. It says ultimately that Abraham was just this pinnacle of faith, that it was counted to him as righteousness for what he believed and held on to. But in the midst of the waiting, Abraham had a moment he didn't choose well, where he tried to do it on his own. That's where we have Ishmael. Read the story. And we're still living to this day with the consequences of Abraham's choice not to continue to hold on to God, but to try to do it himself. But I'm also glad that Scripture records the redemption of Abraham. Even in the midst of bad choices, God's promises was true. And it continued to be in Abraham's life. And even in the frailty of our humanness and our hopelessness, that sometimes we make poor choices where we run away from God and run to ourselves to do things, that God's redemption can bring us back. And even in the poor choices, he can redeem us. And just as in Paul said in Romans 4, where he said that... talking about Moses, Abraham, he said, he did not waver in the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, talking about Abraham, the guy who made the poor choices, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Praise God. Waiting, hope deferred, not easy. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I want us to take a moment. I wanted to look at a testimony, a video testimony of some people who are part of this house and what happened in the process of them waiting on the Lord. Let's watch this testimony.
The message of life either resonates with you or it doesn't. When I found myself in an unplanned pregnancy when I was 16, I did not feel that there was a choice for me than having an abortion. I didn't know the Lord at the time. I can't say that if I did, I would have made a different choice even.
When I was a young girl, I used to put babies to sleep from my neighbors. And one day, as I was holding one, I say, Lord, if you ever going to punish me for anything I do wrong, the worst punishment you can give me is not to let me have children. And years later, I found myself unwed and pregnant. And I thought, you didn't punish me. I am going to have the baby. And the baby became a symbol of God's love and forgiveness.
When my husband and I started dating, we shared with one another all of our junk in our past. And from there, I think, grew a desire that if I should ever encounter a young lady in the same sort of a circumstance, that I would have the opportunity to speak life.
Karen, I knew her from the church. And then she started a group meeting at Panera at 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. So I went to Karen and I say, would you allow all ladies to get in the group? And she said, yes, come in. So I started going to the room and I shared my dream.
We were in the process of potentially finding property for a home for our family. We had a friend that told us that there was a farmhouse sitting on 15 acres. And every time she was on the property, she saw children.
In the dream, I saw a house with different rooms. There were ladies talking, in conversation. In another room, there were baby cribs and the babies inside the cribs. And I felt when I woke up that that's what the Lord wanted me to do, to take care of the children that they are unwanted and to help the mothers.
When Mercedes shared her testimony with me and her dream, I remember going home and telling my husband that you're not going to believe what Mercedes said today. She said that one day she wants to have a house where she can help girls in crisis pregnancies that would otherwise feel forced to choose an abortion instead of choosing life. I said, doesn't that real? That just, it lines up. Halfway through dinner is when my husband said, I know exactly what we would do that house. That would be the house that we wanted for our unwed moms, our moms in crisis pregnancies. All of the pieces came together at that moment. And when he said that, I said, I know who would be the house mom. This would be Mercedes Hope House.
I knew that it was a ministry and I had to do something, but I didn't have the resources. I couldn't figure out how I was going to buy a place to have these ladies. I had prayed to the Lord in December 2014, Lord, I cannot go ahead with this ministry, living in an apartment. I need a house. Karen came and told me about their desire to buy a house for themselves. Until she had called me and she'd say, Mercedes, we brought this property. When do you want to move in? And that is how it started.
Hope House to me is a house that embodies God's heart.
I think the vision of Hope House is to provide a place where these girls can be loved and nurtured.
Hope House is offering these women something that not other clinic, no matter how much they're going to hurt them, offer them. We are telling them, come here. If you have no place to stay for the next 3 or 4 months, you're going to stay here until your baby's born. A safety place. And that's what they're offering. And I think that's the difference, that we are giving them more than just hope and more counseling of what they should do about their baby. We are giving them a place to stay.
You know, the highest aim that we have in life is to demonstrate God's love. God is in the business of life. He's created everything that we see around us, and He's created us in His image, and we're a reflection of Him. And so we're a light into this world, and He knits these babies in their mother's wombs. So He's the author of life.
I believe that He has already done such a miraculous job of bringing individuals together. I have a list of people that already said they want to volunteer. I think the message of Hope House resonates or it doesn't, but I do believe that the message of life and the message of hope resonates with everybody, especially the community of Christ.
No matter how long it is that God gave you a dream, don't let it go. If He gave you a dream, make it part of your life, part of yourself. Pursue it, run with it, and wait in the Lord. Because if this dream is from God, there is going to be a time when it's going to become a reality. And this is Hope House for me.
Can you give God praise for that? What a testimony. I'm going to invite Mercedes to come up. Come on, Mercedes. Wow. What a tremendous testimony of what it was to wait on the Lord. Wow. Mercedes, how long was it before
You know, when God gave you that dream and that passion, that hope, how long was it before this moment here? How many years?
A little bit about 15 years.
15 years, wow. Yeah, and in the moments of those 15 years, was there times of feeling hopeless?
Yes, many times. Times when I never thought that it was going to happen. Times when circumstances and situations, it seems to put the dream farther and farther away from me, like I could never attain it. Times when I had to wonder whether it will ever happen. Times when I cry out to the Lord and say, please, don't take this dream away from me.
And so in those times, tell us a little bit about how your faith sustained you.
When God gives you a dream, you have to have faith. A faith as strong and firm as a rock. A faith believing on the one who is giving you the dream. A faith to wait, because think about God. He gave you a dream. He put fire inside you, and he doesn't give you a timetable. You have to wait. How long? We didn't know. But I knew that one day something would happen. I didn't even know if it was going to be in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. But it will be happening because he gave it to me. And then you have to trust him. Trust in the one who gives you the promises. Trust in the one who gives you never, not a single word out of his mouth can return to him and fulfill. Whatever he say is going to happen. Trust in him. And at the worst time, remember, he always has his hand outstretched to you and say, come on, trust me. I'll carry you. I'll give you courage. I'll take you with me. I will give you the strength. Trust me. And you do. And you also must have obedience. Because obedience, trust, and faith are totally intertwined with each other. And one of them cannot exist without the other. You must obey him. Because at times he's going to take things away from you that you dearly loved. And other times he's going to ask you to give up something you don't want to give up. And another times he's going to ask you something that doesn't make any sense to you at all.
You know, that reminds me, Mercedes, I want to show you something, and I have it up here, talking about the courageousness of hope that asks for obedience that doesn't make sense. I have a letter here with a check. It's dated September 30th, 2005, and it's written to the elders of Harvest Assembly. It said, about 2 months ago, following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, this is from Mercedes, I approached Pastor David and Harold Moore and made a verbal offer for 3 acres of land in back of the present location of Harvest Assembly for the purpose of building an orphanage for unwanted and abandoned children. Today, the Lord made it clear that I was to make an offer and put it in writing by a check, and here's $50 down payment. I kept this because, you know, in a way, in fact, Karen and I were talking after first service. We don't know exactly why, because obviously it wasn't God's plan that she build Hope House on 3 little acres, because God had 15 acres for her. But yet, the obedience of launching out in the midst of times of hopelessness was what impressed me so much that I kept this, and it reminds me of faith in the Lord. Mercedes, what would you say for those of us that are here this morning, that maybe there's been dreams and promises and words that have been spoken over us, and yet we see nothing happening? What would you say to us?
I say, hold into it. Because when the Lord tells you to do something or put a fire inside you about something, it doesn't really matter your age, your circumstances, your money, your situation, where you live. Absolutely nothing matters. It only matters that He gave it to you.
That's right.
He trusted you with something very special and important to Him. And you must trust Him. So hold into that dream. Even if you don't never know if you are going to see it happening, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because it will happen. Because He is the one who gives us the dream, and He will also make it happen. So don't give up. Ever, ever, ever.
Amen. Thank you, Mercedes. Wow. Mercedes, along with Karen and Derek Ward, are going to be in the foyer or in the equipping center. So just drop by and talk to them. I know there's more and more stories. It's just a wonderful thing of what God has done. Praise God. Amen. Waiting on the Lord, having hope. We are called to be people of hope, regardless of the circumstances that we face. We are called to be people of hope. In fact, in this world, if we, as the children of God, aren't the hope givers, who else can give hope? Because our hope is in the Lord. We wait upon Him. He is the one. He is the hope giver. And why can we still, in the midst of even living life, sometimes in hopelessness and sometimes in despair, how can we still have that hope? It's because we have been born, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have been born to a living hope. A living hope. I'm going to read 1 Peter as we close. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for us." We are born to a living hope. Living hope. When hope seems dead, we are called to be people of a resurrected hope. And so I don't know where you are today and which face of hope is staring at you. And if it's the face of hope fulfilled, then just take a moment right now, if you can look in areas of your life and say, "Thank you, God. The things that I hoped for, the things you promised, they came to pass, just like you said. And even better, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord." Now, some of us here in this room, we may be staring at that emoji of hope, the hopeless. And I believe today God wants to renew hope inside of you, to make it new because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And some of you, in areas of your life, are facing the hope deferred emoji. And you're really just tired of waiting. You've waited and you've waited. Now, maybe you haven't waited 15 years like Mercedes, but it seems like an eternity. God wants to renew your hope once again, that you would be patient to make the right choices in the midst of waiting. So if any of those two areas, whether you feel hopeless or you feel like you just are tired of waiting because you don't see anything happening, just be honest, and I want to ask you to stand. God's not troubled by the transparency of where you're at. In fact, there's an amazing thing that happens that when we trust him, he shows up. Thank you for your honesty. And maybe there's a point in you that you know you've been a little angry with God. And maybe this is a moment to square things with him. Say, God, forgive me for blaming you. My hope is not in the stuff around me, but my hope is in you. There's a story in the Old Testament where Ezekiel was brought into a desert of dry bones, and the question was asked, could these bones ever live again? And the breath of God breathed upon the bones, and they came to life, flesh, sinew, muscles, joined them together, and they became a mighty army. So, Father, I'm asking you to breathe upon the dry bones of hope in the people of this house, that you would renew the life, the renewal of your resurrection power inside them, that hope would arise once again, that, Lord, they would patiently wait because now they believe. And even they cry out to you, help me in my unbelief, but I believe in you. I believe in your promises. I believe in what you spoke to me. My faith is in you. Holy Spirit, even now, breathe life into hopeless situations through your power. Hallelujah. Could all of us stand, please? Father, I'm asking that this house would be a house of hope, that we would be people who would proclaim our hope in the Lord and the foundation of our hope being in you. Father, I ask that you would make us a conduit of hope to those around us, that would be words, we would speak words of hope because we're living it in our own lives. I ask for that, Lord Jesus. May hope arise within us. May hope, may a living hope rise up in all of us, in every situation and every circumstance. May our trust in you be so strong. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings to you. Have a great day. Have a great week.